Welcome. Today we're doing a deep dive into Scenaria DNA's trend report, focusing on the themes we saw at CES 2025.
It's called How We Live with Technology in 2025, right?
Right. And, you know, as AI hosts, it's fascinating to see how technology is constantly evolving and reinventing itself.
It really is. And this report uses an interesting methodology, culture mapping, to analyze all this.
Culture mapping. Can you explain that a little more?
Well, it looks for patterns and analyzes language across different areas, you know, to try and figure out emerging cultural trends. And from that, it can kind of predict how those trends will play out.
So it's all about understanding how tech, culture, and society all interact with each other.
Exactly.
And one of the big things that stood out in this report was a pretty significant shift. It seems we're moving away from this idea of tech utopianism and more towards something they call tech realism.
Yeah, it's like CES 2025 was less about how technology can bring us isolated convenience and more about how it can help us tackle the big challenges like climate change and improving overall societal well-being.
You know, this shift was really noticeable in the keynote addresses. Like NVIDIA CEO Jensen Huang, he talked about AI's potential to be more than just a tool, but actually a partner in our progress.
He was emphasizing how crucial it is to really integrate AI into our systems if we want to take on these increasingly complex challenges.
And Martin Lundstedt, the Volvo Group CEO, echoed this sentiment.
Definitely. He talked about transportation being essential for prosperity, but needing to also create sustainable and decarbonized systems.
Yeah, their focus on things like electrification, automation, and safety, they all point toward taking a more ethically responsible approach to technology.
Absolutely. And the report distills all of this down into four key trends.
Climate adaptive living, sensory entertainment living, proactive healthy living, and omnipresent work living.
And along with the culture mapping analysis, it gives us a pretty interesting glimpse into how our relationship with technology is evolving.
But before we dive into all of that, it's worth looking at where home technology stands today.
In a post-pandemic world.
Right. Because while the pandemic certainly made us rely more on technology, it also brought up some, well, concerns.
Yeah, we were forced to embrace technology for work, school, even just to stay connected with people. But it also highlighted issues like social isolation, misinformation, you know, all that.
And there was the whole question of how all the screen time was impacting our mental health.
Absolutely. The report mentions a survey from the American Psychological Association back in 2021.
67% of participants said they were interacting less face-to-face.
It's a lot. And author Jonathan Haidt did research that found 59% of adolescents felt their anxiety increase because of heavy social media use.
So it creates this kind of tension, right?
Definitely. Consumers are more skeptical of technology, concerned about its huge role in our lives.
But at the same time, corporations are still pushing technology as the be-all and end-all solution.
Sometimes without fully addressing those concerns and potential downsides.
So it begs the question, will all this lead to a more human-centric approach to tech?
A design philosophy where technology empowers individuals and communities instead of just connecting them. I mean, will it?
It's a great question. And the report definitely suggests that companies need to actively address those consumer concerns.
Concerns about ethics, privacy, mental well-being. That's how they'll rebuild trust.
So technology serves humanity's best interests.
Exactly. And it leads right into another important point. Rethinking post-pandemic technological affordances.
With remote work and digital platforms becoming so deeply embedded in our lives, we need technology that's seamless and intuitive.
The report really emphasizes addressing cognitive load.
That mental effort we put into processing information and navigating these increasingly complex digital spaces.
Things like telehealth, online learning, even data protection systems, they all need to be efficient.
But designed with the user in mind, their well-being in mind.
For sure.
The report talks about adaptive technologies, technologies that can intelligently filter information and help prioritize the important stuff.
And using things like calming design principles and thinking about ergonomics could really help.
Create a digital experience that is less stressful and more focused.
Make technology work for us, not the other way around.
Exactly. Now, should we jump into those four key trends?
Absolutely. Let's start with climate adaptive living.
So this trend basically covers a whole bunch of innovations focused on things like food security, zero waste, and adapting to our changing climate.
And the increasingly extreme weather events we're seeing.
And what's really interesting is this shift from individual actions to more collective tech-assisted solutions.
It's not just about me and you making sustainable choices anymore. It's about using technology to create systemic change.
And CES 2025 had some amazing examples of this, like the Aper Irrisin Smart Irrigation System. This thing simulates natural rainfall patterns,
massively reducing water waste in agriculture. Think of the impact if everyone used it.
And then there's Midbar Air Farms Food ARK. It's basically a smart farm, inflatable and flat packable, so you can set it up anywhere.
It recycles water, optimizes growing conditions. It means you can grow food sustainably, even in tough environments.
And Plantiform had their smart indoor garden, which uses NASA's Fogponics technology.
You can grow produce year-round no matter what the weather's doing outside.
It could totally revolutionize urban farming. Imagine, no more food deserts.
Now, let's take a look at the culture map analysis for this trend.
Climate adaptive living. The report identifies four forces at play: dominant, residual, emergent, and disruptive.
It's basically how society interacts with and adopts new technology.
The report says that while smart technology is becoming the dominant force, it's often not integrated in a very systemic way.
And those traditional practices, like conserving water, they stick around, but they're not always effective at scale.
The residual forces.
Right. But then you have these emergent innovations like modular living spaces and urban micro-ecosystems. They offer really creative solutions.
They're just in those early stages.
Exactly. And then the analysis warns of potential disruption from things like self-sufficient homes and decentralized energy grids.
Those are the disruptive forces,
which could completely change how we live and interact with our environment.
The culture map also points out this tension between adaptability, which is often focused on aesthetics, and designs that are truly resilient.
It's a risk. Companies focusing on marketing these climate-friendly products that aren't actually functional or that resilient.
And the report acknowledges that disruptions in the supply chain for renewable technology and even the materials they need,
those factors could really hinder even the most promising solutions from becoming widespread.
And finally, there are all the subcultures influencing this space.
You've got the eco-minimalists, the urban resilience advocates, the tech-driven environmentalists, each with their own take on managing resources and becoming more climate resilient.
So much to unpack there. But moving on to sensory entertainment living, how about that?
So this trend is all about technology becoming an extension of our senses, creating these incredibly immersive entertainment experiences.
We're talking AI, augmented reality, virtual reality, haptics, spatial audio.
All blurring the lines between the physical and virtual worlds, turning our homes into these dynamic, multi-sensory environments.
And CES 2025 showcased some really cool examples.
Oh, yeah, like XRunner by NewJack.
This headset-free XR platform. You can move around freely and interact with the metaverse in real time.
Imagine that, experiencing a virtual world without being tethered to a headset.
And then Sony had their Bravia Theater Quad Wireless Speaker System.
With that 360 spatial sound mapping technology,
they create these phantom speakers that basically envelop you in this immersive cinema-quality audio.
Home theater that feels like an actual auditorium. Amazing.
And there's the Haply Minverse 3D Touch Mouse. It lets you actually feel digital objects.
Haptic feedback that makes virtual design and gaming so much more immersive.
That's so cool. But the culture map analysis for this trend brings up some important points.
Like exclusivity. A lot of these technologies are really expensive. Not everyone will be able to afford these immersive experiences.
It could lead to a digital divide in entertainment. But the report suggests exploring things like subsidies or public-private partnerships
to make sure everyone has access to these transformative technologies.
It shouldn't be a luxury, right? Everyone deserves to experience it.
For sure. And then there's the ethical side of things.
Content creation and access within these virtual spaces.
Yeah.
The lines between reality and virtuality are blurring.
Yeah, we have to think about the impact of immersive content, potential biases, misinformation, the impact on our mental well-being, all of it.
And again, you have the subcultures driving this trend forward.
Tactile gamers, holocinematographers, reality augmenters, they're all pushing the boundaries of entertainment technology.
They want deeper immersion, seamless integration of technology into leisure and storytelling. It's really fascinating.
It is. Okay, next up, proactive healthy living. This one addresses the changing healthcare landscape,
where technology plays an increasingly central role.
Right, a lot of things are shaping this trend. The move toward private healthcare, aging populations, and the need for homes to support aging in place.
It's turning our homes into these personalized health hubs.
With biometric systems, adaptive sensory technology, wellness-focused designs.
And CES 2025 was full of innovative products reflecting this.
Like AI MediWater. It gives you personalized hydration recommendations based on your biometric data.
And make sure you're getting enough fluids throughout the day.
Then there's ProxGY AirShifter, a smart ceiling fan that adjusts airflow and even purifies the air.
It creates a healthier and more comfortable home, especially for people sensitive to air quality.
And PT Bro H-less, a wearable that uses stimulation and microcurrents to manage pain.
Non-invasive pain relief. Sign me up. It could potentially reduce reliance on medication.
Right, and give people more control over their pain management. Amazing.
But the culture map analysis for this trend does highlight a potential tension.
Between creating accessible care hubs and the possible inequities that could come with privatized health solutions.
Yeah, personalized healthcare is great, but we need to make sure everyone can access it.
Absolutely. And the report also cautions against relying too heavily on AI in healthcare.
Emphasizing the risks that come with data breaches.
As healthcare data becomes more digital and personalized, privacy and security are paramount.
There are concerns about misuse of data and the need for strong ethical guidelines.
And the subcultures, oh, they're really driving this trend forward. You've got the DIY health optimizers, the biometric data enthusiasts, the aging-in-place advocates.
They all want greater autonomy over their health, which is understandable. But we have to be mindful of data security and equitable access to these technologies.
It's a balancing act for sure. And finally, we have omnipresent work living. This trend is all about work breaking free from traditional spaces.
And becoming seamlessly integrated into all these different realities.
Physical, digital, and virtual, creating a truly hybrid work experience.
And CES 2025 showcased some fascinating innovations in this space.
Like Polygon, it lets you create these personalized 3D avatars for more immersive virtual interactions.
Imagine what that could do for online meetings and collaborative workspaces.
And Artigen Space Arty, which uses text-to-AR technology to bring paper-based text to life.
So you could be reading a report and have all this extra information, 3D models, visualizations, all popping up right on the page.
It could totally transform how we learn.
And then there was Terramine LaserPass with its advanced security features.
Using AI, lip sync, and facial recognition to fight deepfakes.
Making sure authentication is secure in a world where digital identities are more vulnerable than ever.
It's crucial, but the culture map analysis does point out the challenges here.
Maintaining that work-life balance, mitigating risks like burnout and surveillance in an always-on work environment.
The potential for XR-driven collaboration is exciting, and these modular AI workspaces are popping up.
But it's a slippery slope when work becomes truly omnipresent. How do we protect our time, our privacy, our mental well-being?
That's the million-dollar question.
And as always, you have the subcultures shaping how this all plays out.
The digital nomads, the Zoom fatigue fighters, the visibility strategists.
They're all pushing for solutions that prioritize well-being, equity, a healthy integration of work and life in this increasingly blended work environment.
It's all connected.
It really is. These four trends show us how technology is being reimagined in this post-pandemic world.
The focus is shifting.
From individual convenience to collective well-being.
And addressing shared challenges.
Before we wrap up this part of the deep dive, the report also briefly touches on a few broader trends.
They provide even more context for these four key themes.
And we'll explore those next.
They offer a really valuable glimpse into these larger societal shifts that we're seeing.
One that stood out was deepfake normal. The report talks about how, as technology keeps advancing, it's getting harder and harder to tell what's real and what's been fabricated.
It's concerning, right? The potential for misinformation, manipulation, it's huge.
What does it mean for trust, for accountability, even for the very idea of truth itself?
It's a big question.
And then there's this trend they call rich reset culture. It seems like more and more affluent individuals are reevaluating their priorities.
Looking for experiences with more meaning, a greater sense of purpose.
Maybe it's a reaction to the pandemic or a growing awareness of the inequalities in the world.
Could be.
Another interesting one is the emergence of smart, dumb hybrid cities.
Cities that try to find that balance between technological advancement and human-centered design.
Embracing technology for things like efficiency and sustainability.
But also prioritizing green spaces, community interaction, keeping things human scale.
We need cities that are innovative but also livable, where technology serves the needs of the people without sacrificing quality of life.
Absolutely. And then there's inclusion counter-reformation. It's basically about all these efforts to embed diversity, equity, and inclusion into our systems.
Making sure that technology benefits everyone and doesn't just make existing inequalities worse.
Exactly. It's about going beyond surface-level solutions and tackling those root causes of bias and discrimination.
These broader themes really highlight how interconnected technological advancements and societal shifts are.
Technology isn't neutral. It reflects our values, our priorities, the choices we make as a society.
The report from Scenaria DNA is like a roadmap. It points out the challenges, but also the opportunities that are in front of us.
It encourages us to think critically about these terms.
To engage with them in a responsible way.
As we start digging deeper into the implications of all these trends, I think the biggest question is, what does it all mean?
What can we learn from this analysis of CES 2025 and all these trends Scenaria DNA has identified?
It seems like the overall message is we're moving away from that naive optimism of tech utopianism.
Towards a more realistic and nuanced view of technology's impact.
We're starting to see that technology isn't a cure-all. It can have positive and negative consequences.
The pandemic definitely pushed us in that direction. We had to face technology's limitations and remember how important human connection is.
But it also led to amazing innovation, a renewed focus on using technology to address the challenges we all share.
And these trends we've been discussing, they all reflect that.
That growing awareness.
They show us we need technology that isn't just efficient and functional. It needs to be sustainable, equitable, human-centered.
We're moving away from isolated convenience towards solutions that actually connect us, empower us, help us build a more resilient and inclusive world.
The choices we make today, that's what will shape the future of technology.
We have to be thoughtful, deliberate, responsible in how we design, develop, and use technology.
We have to ask those tough questions. What are the consequences of these emerging technologies? How can we make sure they're serving humanity, fostering connection, helping us tackle these shared challenges?
Questions for all of us, individually and as a society.
The trends in this report give us a framework for thinking about the future, the role technology will play.
The future isn't set in stone, it's like a blank canvas. The choices we make today will determine the masterpiece we create.
Let's make it a masterpiece worth admiring. The Scenaria DNA report also briefly touches on a few other 2025 trend themes worth discussing.
Yeah, these additional themes give us more context for those four key trends we already talked about. They really show how interconnected all these emerging forces are and how they reflect the bigger changes happening in society.
Like solo society, it highlights how isolated and fragmented we're becoming, even though we're hyper-connected through technology.
It's a strange paradox, isn't it? We've got all these tools to communicate, but we're still struggling to connect with each other in a meaningful way.
It makes you wonder if the technology meant to connect us is actually contributing to the problem.
It's definitely something to think about. And then there's the theme, Beyond the Lone Wolf. It emphasizes the need for collaboration and collective action if we want to tackle these complex challenges we're
We
facing.
can't solve these problems by ourselves anymore. We need to work together, share knowledge, build coalitions.
Exactly. And paradoxical populism is another one. It reflects that growing distrust of institutions, the rise of anti-establishment views.
We see it in politics and social movements globally. People are looking for different narratives, solutions that come from outside those traditional power structures.
It raises questions about technology's role in shaping public discourse, the need for more transparency, more accountability.
And then there's intergenerational animus. That growing divide between generations, often fueled by different values, experiences, perspectives.
And technology just amplifies it. Different generations adopt and use technology in their own ways.
It's important to find ways to bridge that gap, to foster understanding across generations. We need spaces for dialogue, empathy, shared learning.
Absolutely. And the report also touches on themes like gendered workspaces and aging invisibility. They remind us we need to create environments that are inclusive and equitable for everyone.
We need to design spaces, systems, technologies that support diversity, accessibility, full participation from all members of society.
These broader trends really underscore the need for ethical consideration and inclusive design if we're going to shape the future in a positive way.
As we navigate all these evolving landscapes, the most important thing is to prioritize human well-being, foster connection, and make sure that technology serves humanity, not the other way around.
The report from Scenaria DNA has been a great guide, highlighting both the challenges and opportunities that lie ahead.
It's a call to action for all of us. To engage with these emerging trends thoughtfully and responsibly.
as we wrap up this deep dive into CES 2025 and the future of technology, I think we're left with a sense of cautious optimism.
We can't deny the challenges we face. Climate change, social fragmentation, political polarization, but there's also incredible potential for innovation, for collaboration, for positive change.
The future isn't predetermined. It's a tapestry that we're all weaving together with the choices we make, the actions we take, the stories we tell.
Let's make it a story worth sharing, a future worth striving for.